Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening. It is now time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's an honor and a privilege to come before you week after week as we explore the Word of God together. God has allowed us this platform, and I'm so grateful that he allowed me to be able to go before his people. And I thank God for each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule and come that week of fellowship in the Word of God. Thank you. I appreciate you, and I pray often for you that God bless you and keep you. Well, it's Wednesday night, and it's time for us to go into the Word of God. You know, it's hard not to mention what's going on all around the world, but we have been in this situation for some time now, and every day is something new, so it's hard to keep up with it. But all I come to tell you is that God is able and God is in control. And God is doing what he wants, when he wants. But God has our best interests at heart and he will see us through. Tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to expound on the 17th through the 36th verse. So if you have your Bibles, turn it to Genesis. If you don't have your Bible, get your Bible and turn it to Genesis, because this is Bible study. And the book that we study is the Bible. So the title of our lesson is, You Cannot Move Forward by Looking Back. You cannot forward if you are looking back. That is so true. And it's real. So that's the title of the lesson tonight. We coming out of the book of Genesis. As always, I'm going to play a song. And then we're going to come and go to God's throne of grace.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
And that song reminds us that our God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. No matter what you need, God got it. No matter what you want, God's got it. God is in control and he owns the whole world. The word of God says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. God is the creator of all things, and everything belongs to him. We are only stewards. A steward is someone that's taking care of something that belongs to someone else until they come back for it. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And you got to be ready. At this time, we got to go to the throne of grace. And if there's anyone that's in the studio tonight would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone. I'll open the line and you could pray. Well, to Heavenly Father, gracious God, to give of every perfect gift. Our Lord, our Savior, our Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to give of every perfect gift. The Lord who loves our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. And I'm asking that the word that's going to go forth on tonight, that it give you honor, glory, and praise. And Lord, I pray tonight that your word won't return void. And that it would accomplish what you set out for it to accomplish. Lord, we showed up and we show up week after week. We have shown that we are committed and we are submitting ourselves unto you. Lord, you say whoever seek, you will be found. And if we knock, the doors will be open. Lord, this is the 8:30 hour that we come to study the word of God, that we may grow in your grace and in your knowledge. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, we need you right now. We ask that you come and have your way with this lesson on tonight. Lord, I decrease as you allow your Holy Ghost to increase all of these blessings and others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. Well, always when we're doing a lesson, and remember for those who has just gotten on the line, we're coming from the book of Genesis. We're in the 19th chapter. We expound on the 17th through the 26th verse. And as we do every week, we do a background. And since this scripture was talking about the character that you know something about, some may know more than others, but we're going to look at Lot. So we're going to do a background tonight about Lot. It's really impossible to speak about Lot without talking about Abraham. You see, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham had a brother whose name was Haran, and he had a son named Lot. But Abraham's brother died, and Abraham took the responsibility of Lot. You see, that was important in those days, that people took care of their people. And when someone died and a child was made an orphan, the next person would step up and take that child. So Lot's father died, and Abraham took on the responsibility. That's what happened. But look what happened. God called Abraham one day, and he told him, Abraham, leave your family and your homeland. He said, I'm a bring you to a place where I want you to be, to a land that I want you to be. So Abraham didn't hesitate. Abraham got up. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his possession and left. He didn't even know where he was going. But watch this. He trusted God. So the two men, you know, obeyed, and they moved to the land that God had promised them. You see, God had a master plan. And he chose the players to play in his plan. He chose the right person all the time for the right reason, for the right season. You have to realize that that's how God is operating your life. All of us have a design purpose. All of us have a purpose and a design created by God before the foundation of the world. And we are working each day to fulfill that intended purpose that God has given us. But God is guiding us. He's protecting us. He's leading us. But we have to follow. You see, as we study the life of Lot and Abraham, with all of the disappointments, all of the acts of distrust, if you read the Bible, and the pride they had, God was always working it out together for their good. Now, this should let you know something. You know, many of us, and even all of the characters in the Bible, All of them had some kind of fault. All of them had shortcomings. All of them. You know, when God decided to choose the disciples, you know, Peter was a hothead. Matthews was collecting tax and wasn't doing it righteously. Come on, y'all. God knew what they were doing when he chose them. But God does not look at us for how we are right now, but what we can become. Let God use you, y'all. Let God mold and shape and arrange and rearrange you into what he wants you to be. Because everybody have a purpose. God is a God of purpose, and he does nothing without a purpose. You might not understand what your purpose is, but believe me, there's a purpose in you. And God is working in and through you to bring it to its fullest. But you got to cooperate. You see, you must realize that it's all a part of God's plan. And the sweetness of it is wherever he guides us, he provides for us. You see, Abraham and Lot had gained so much in their travel, so much more families and slaves and cattle and things like that. They was prosperous. Because you see, when the hand of God is in you, you ain't going to fail. When God has his hand on you, God gave him the assignment to go do. And I just say, wherever God, he provides. So Abraham was making it all right. They had gotten so much till Abraham and Lot's servants weren't getting along, and there wasn't enough grass for all the herd to feed. Look what Abraham do, mighty man of God. Abraham decided they need to separate, and he told Lot, if you go left, I'm going to go right. And if you go right, I'm going to go left. What he was doing, giving Lot the first choice. You know, Abraham was the man and Lot was under him. But look how Abraham handled that. Now, here is where we see Lot's selfishness. Lot looked at what he thought was the best choice and the best lane. Instead of saying all that Abraham had done for him, he'll let him have the best. Lot chose the best or what he thought was the best. But you got to always remember, we are always told, don't let the green grass fool you, because the grass always look greener on the other side. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. You see, he chose the land that was close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And before you know it, he was lured into Sodom and Gomorrah. I know many of you know about Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I'm going to just tell you a little bit. You see, Sodom was a city of great riches, as were the other cities and towns. There was a whole plain, and it was five. It wasn't just Sodom and Gomorrah, but there was five cities, and all of them were destroyed when God did the destruction. But there was, there were other cities in the towns of the plain. The people possessed the finest food, clothing, and various other goods. They were really living their best life, y'all. Leaning to their own understanding. You see, with their lives surrounded by countless items of luxury, the citizens were self-satisfied. In other words, they were satisfied just the way they were. They were getting what they want, when they wanted, how they wanted, how much they wanted. And they began to be proud within themselves. And look what that'll make you do. They saw no need to seek after God at this Solomon was a wicked place, y'all. Scripture has shown us that there was, you know, they weren't hospitable to strangers. And that was a big no-no in that time. That was big. And they mistreated the poor. You see, also the city was dealing with all sorts of sexual sin, homosexuality, and much unnatural sex. Sodom and the people were so perverted that God told Abraham after some time, and Lot and his wife was living there, and they was, like I say, living their big life. But God was so disgusted with everything that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that he decided that he was going to destroy it. But watch how God do with his people. God had a relationship with Abraham, and God knew Abraham's nephew Lot was dead. So God gave Abraham a heads up and said, look, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, you know, immediately went into to bargaining with God. If y'all read the story, you'll see Abraham say, if I could find 50 righteous people, would you let it? And 10 and 5 and 4 and 3, 2 and 1, and it didn't happen. So it's now time to destroy. But God said, okay, I'm going to still take care of you, Abraham. That's how we know we could be on the prayers of someone else. You know how we say in there, the song say, my mama prayed for me? Are you praying for anybody? Because of Abraham's righteousness and faithfulness towards God, God honored to take care of his nephew. Can the way you live and what you do put a covering and extend where your children could be safe? You know, from some danger seen and unseen. So now Abraham negotiated with God on behalf of the city. And he agreed that he was fair. God said, I'm gonna destroy the city. That's not up for grabs. That's gonna happen. He said, but I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna spare Lot and his family. I was always coming to Lot's rescue. Read it and you'll see. At some time it seemed that Lot was more trouble to Abraham than help. But Abraham's love for people and his family made him act this way, to always try to help and not hurt. You see, once Lot got in Solomon, he joined in the customs, the faults, the bad habits, the blatant disobedience towards God. Lot appeared to have been walking in faith when he was with Abraham. But at this point in his life and living, as I say, the good life in Solomon at this time, Lot was only dealing with what he could see. Now, you know, the Bible teaches us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence that of things not seen. Lot wasn't having faith and trusting God. He was trusting everything that he could see. Lot had lived a righteous life with Abraham. But Lot's story is what it is. And this story is also an illustration of God's mercy. In spite of Lot's poor choices, God saved him and his daughters from a violent end in Solomon and preserved his line throughout the ages. Lot's family line lived on, because if they would have been destroyed, that would have been the end of their lineage. But God took care of it, of Lot, because of Abraham. Hallelujah. So we're going to get into scriptures right now in verses 15. Let me see what the verses are. So I'll go ahead up to 15. And when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, what God did, he sent two angels to Lot's house, told Lot that God was going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he told Lot, I'm going to come and, you know, we got to get out. He said, the city is not going to be destroyed until after you are gone. If we look at verse 17, it said, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life Come on, y'all. That's what the angels told him. He said, now let me tell you what we're going to do. This the angels talking. In verse 17, I'm going to read it again. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. That's what he told him. He said, when y'all get out of here, and I'm leading and guiding you, don't look back. Neither stay thou in all the plains. He said, look, the angel's talking to him, right, telling him the plan. He said, man, let me tell y'all. I'm going to get y'all out the house and y'all go to escape to the mountain, lest I be consumed. Verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not, oh, my Lord. Now, he's talking with the angels. The angels have told him what he's supposed to do now. The whole city is destroyed, and God has made a way for them to escape. The angel is leading them to where God evidently had a sign for them to go. And look what we see Lot doing. In verse 19, he said, behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy. He said, look, God has found grace on me. And he has magnified his mercy within them, within me, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. But look what he said now. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Verse 20. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. This is Lot negotiation. He said, behold, they got a little city near, and it's a little one. Look what he says, still in verse 20. Oh, let me escape hither to that little city, and my soul shall live. 21. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing. The angel said, okay, I'm accepted. I asked you to go to the mountains. You asked to go to the little city. You're negotiating your will against the will of God. He said, but what I'm going to do? I will accept thee concerning this thing also, that I not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. He said, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to destroy the city. I'm going to let you go to the little place you want. And 22 said, haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou become hither. For the name of the city was called Zoar. Now that's where Lot wanted to go. He didn't want to go in the mountains. And really and truly, the city was kind of a little bit closer to the city, you know, and things like that. So the angel agreed. And 23 said, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Lot negotiated. Y'all know that's a bad thing to do. Now, God delivered him, saved him. Not only him, but his family. Come on, y'all. And he gave him instructions what to do. And Lot began to bargain with God. Y'all know anybody do things like that? You see, here we see Lot wanted to have his way again. When God tell you to do something, we don't have the right to bargain with him. All that God has done was doing and as promised to do, Lot still was not satisfied. You know, plenty of times I sat down and I think about God and his goodness. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about all of us. Well, I could just say I'm talking about me. Sometimes no matter what God do for you, it don't seem like it's enough the way you react. and the way, you know, you travel in disobedience against him. You see, it was almost like Lot was saying, let's make a deal. Lot didn't even have the hand to play where he didn't have any leverage. He didn't have anything, but he's still trying to have his way. He said, I know you found favor in me, Lord, and you magnified thy mercy, and you saved my life. He said, but I come to tell you tonight, whenever you doing something or saying something and you got to say but, if you add but to it, you're in danger. He said, I know you saved my life, but I cannot go to the mountain because of fear. You see, many times we have to leave our comfort zone to receive what's in store for us. It's amazing. It's so amazing how we believe that we are afforded the privilege when God tells us something to do and we say but. You see, God may be telling us to leave a bad relationship. And you hear God's voice plain and simple and clear. But you have the disaster to say, oh yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you done messed up, y'all. Or he may be saying, now is not the time to buy a house. And then you say, but I want it now. But I believe it's the right time. Ignoring what God is telling you. You know, sometimes he may telling us to stop doing certain things. And we add that but. Sometimes he say, I need to use your time, your money, your gifts for kingdom building. And we say, not now, maybe later, I would, but. You know, we say but to so many things that God is telling us and God is trying to get us to do, because everything that God wants you to do is for you. God have your best interest at heart. God knows what's best for you. We can only see our hand if we put it right before our face. But God can see the future. He already knows the past. And he knows what's happening right now. So when God is asking us or giving us direction or guiding us through the Holy Spirit, it is best that we do what is asked, because that's where our success is. And then when you don't listen to what God is telling you or go where God is leading you, wherever you go and whatever you do, you own your own. Hallelujah. You're on your own. You know, when the angels came to get Lot out of the house, Lot was walking so slow and he was hesitating as if, you know, he was maybe contemplating if I'm going to do this, you know, and all of that. It was so much hesitation going on that in verse 16 right above that, and while he lingered, Lot and his family, the man laid hands upon him and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hands of his daughter, and God being merciful unto them, and they brought them forth. They weren't even ready to leave out. See, we have to watch what we trying to hold on to so tightly, especially when God's saying it's time to move. Come on, y'all. Lot wasn't ready to give up what he was doing, how he was doing it. You see, the angels agreed and said, okay, go, because I cannot do anything because of the promise until you go. Get out the way so God, we could destroy this place. God always allow us to have a way out because that's the way he planned it. And here we go again. But you may, you know, you might be having some hardships, trials, and tribulations. And, you know, sometimes pure devastation and even life, even your life, and you know, cause you to die because you did it your own way. You know, you go to the east when God telling you to go to the west. You don't know what's over there. So you get hardships. God may allow you to do it your way. God say, okay, my brother, my sister, this is what I want you to do. You throw that butt in there, and you do just what you want to do. God said, okay, God could stop it, but he sometimes allow it. And when he allow it, what you get is what you got. You might have the hardships, the trials, and devastation. And even in some cases, it can cost you your life. And once you get there and you're all messed up, I'm going to tell you what most people do. Then they hit the brick wall and they realize that it might be something to what God was saying. So what they do is they call on the name of God and they want their emergencies, come on, y'all, to become God's urgency. Lord, I know I didn't listen to you, but I need you right now and I want you to show up. Come on, y'all. God, no, I didn't do it like you said, but I need you right now. You know, we should always be willing to say, thou will be done, God, not our will, because we have to remember that God knows best. If God tell you anything, don't you know that's the best thing for you to have said to you? God knows best. God ain't gonna never tell you nothing to hurt you, to lead you astray. God ain't gonna never tell you nothing that's gonna cause you heartache and pain. So how could we not listen? Because we hard-headed. We are hard-headed. And some of us have heart in our heart. And some may be turned over to a reprobate mind. You know, a reprobate mind is when you consistently, constantly, all the time want to do it your way, even though God's spirit is talking to you, trying to lead and guide you and really help you work on you from the inside out. Because God says it's not that we could fix ourselves, but it's God doing the sanctification process in our lives that's making us be better and better day by day. But if we throw all that out the window and we just do it our way, sometime God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, meaning he ain't going to keep convicting you for it. Because even he see you're not ready. You're not ready, you know, like no time right now. You could do it your way. We have been seeing man doing his own thing from the beginning of time. And you could see all of the destruction. God said, if you learn from someone else's mistakes, you won't have to go through the same thing. You know, we see all the time a person that sells drugs, they always tell them, and they always say, there's two choices, jail or death. Now, there have been some that did it and came out all right. Well, I'll say all right, but they had to watch over their shoulder, you know, they had to this or that. And plenty of the ones we know, they don't have no money when they decided not to do it and things like, you know, I'm just saying, we know the drill. We know the drill. God said learn from someone else's mistakes and you don't have to pay for that. Pay for those same mistakes in your life. And if we look at the last verses, on verse 24 through 26, the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is not one place, it's two cities. That's why they say upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstones and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all of the other cities. There was many more, five little cities around there. And all the habitats of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But, verse 26, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Disobedience can cost you your life, y'all. We just talked about that earlier. Disobedience can, not always, but it can cost you your life. And that's what happened to Lot's wife. You see, Lot lost his wife to disobedience. They were told to keep it moving and don't look back. She valued the city of sin. Not only her, but Lot did too. Y'all got to realize Lot had become a big timer in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a VIP. He had it going on. You know, he was looked up to. And he loved it in the midst of all the sinful things going around. He was living his best life. And now we look at Lot's wife. She was too. She valued the city of sin more than the refuge that God has prepared for them. Now, God said, I'm going to tear this city up. First of all, why would they even be worrying about the city? And maybe it wasn't the city as so much as they stuck. We're going to get to that. But you know how God does something for us and we so into looking at it the wrong way, taking it the wrong way. There's a saying that say you can't see the forest for the trees. In our lives, people, God is blessing us more than we could ever comprehend. Because he just keeps taking care of us. And God keeps us from danger seen and unseen. How many times you didn't even know you was in a dangerous situation and God protected you? You have no idea what God is doing in your life. You can't even thank him for everything because you don't know everything and you don't understand everything. Like the record I played, God is so awesome. His thoughts is higher than our thoughts, than the ground is from heaven. That's why when we get to heaven, they say it's going to be, we're not going to be able to have no excuses. You ain't going to be able to tell God why you didn't, about nothing, absolutely nothing. How often we look at the allures of this world that is more captivating and eye-catching. You see, we know that the definition of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We look at these things sometimes more than the things of God. And it's so silly because the Bible tells us, see, we just so backwards. The Bible tells us that only what we do for Christ is going to last. The Bible tells us that everything that's on this earth is going to burn with a fervent heat. Because when Jesus come back and he reign, come on, y'all, they're going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. And Jesus is going to be our righteous judge, our righteous king. And we're going to reign with Jesus. Hallelujah, y'all. So we put all our sights on what we could see, which eliminates faith, y'all. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence that of things not seen. So we put our faith, we begin to put our faith on the things that we could see. Whenever you do that, you're leaving faith out. Because if you could see it, you don't need faith. So you see Lot, his wife, and him, and probably his daughter, had the problem because they were so stuck on what they could see. They were so stuck on it right then and there. They were so stuck that they hesitated when the angels came. And now we see she even, after being told not to look back, look back. We find the ways of this world more pleasing and enticing than the narrow path that God has ordained for his saints to walk therein. This life, the book of James teaches us that this life is only a vapor. It's a short period of time, but we feel like, oh, it's a lot of years. And, you know, even the oldest lady was on TV the other day. She was 116. But that is nothing compared to eternal life. There's no comparison to eternal life. And when we do receive eternal life, we're going to live there forever. God say, put your sight on things above. They had done threw everything in the hat for what they could see. You see, Luke tells us, now watch this. Luke, in the book of Luke, Jesus is talking. He said, in that day, Luke 17 chapter, 31st verse. It said, in that day, he which shall be up on the housetop, and his stuff is in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. See, God is talking about returning back when I'm trying to put you forward. And then the scripture says in verse 32, he said, remember Lot's wife. This Jesus talking and teaching the Israelites. Luke recorded it in the book of Luke. But watch this. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Now, when they said a life right there, that don't mean a life to die, but the things that make up your life enjoyment. So that's your pleasures and things, your materialistic things. He's anybody always trying to save that which is life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Are you willing to give up material things for the things of God? It's probably what it's kind of saying here. You see, she should have been grateful for the deliverance. Now she has no faith, looking only at what she could see again. Do you live your life like that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. If all you can trust and all you could believe is what you could see or what you could do, then there is no faith. And if you could do that and that could satisfy you, you don't have a need for God. You believe in your heart. You see, to stop looking back takes faith. You don't know how much. We don't know that much about Lot's wife. The Bible don't even give her a name. They call her Lot's wife. But one thing she is known for, come on, y'all, is looking back. This is letting us know when God say to move, move. Don't look back. Keep it moving. Lot's wife was concerned with what she was losing. And in all honesty, you know, Lot and Abraham traveled a lot. You know, they would go to another place and they had to pitch the tent, and she wasn't settled. Come on, y'all, I'm not taking up for her, but, you know, sometimes you got to understand where somebody at. And they was moving from place to place, and they had to set the tent up, and she wasn't stable, and they was always moving. They got to this city, and Miss Solomon Gomorrah got lured into Solomon Gomorrah. She had a little house, and I could imagine doing a little garden, and blah, 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 blah. And she was married to the man who was a VIP, and she was probably honored for being his wife, and they had everything they wanted, and they was living a good life. And God tell them, go. And you couldn't take nothing with you. That's why I read that script to you guys about in Luke. The Bible was teaching us that when Jesus come back in a twinkle in the eye, if someone is on the rooftop, don't get off the roof and try to go inside. You got to move. You got to be ready. You got to move. He said, if you're in the field, don't come back inside. Let me get my now watch this, y'all. I got to get my pride possessions. I got to get my photo albums, because you know you can't replace photos. Now listen at this, y'all. I'm talking about Jesus coming back with the rapture. When Jesus come back to take his church, to pick up the saints, and you're going to go with Jesus in the air, you don't need nothing. And you can't bring it into eternity, because only the things you've done for Christ in deeds and love is going to go with you. Not no stuff. You can't bring your car. That's why they tell you when people die, you're in the cemetery, when you see them in a casket, they can't. They're not taking nothing with them. That's what he's saying. He said, remember Lot's wife, if she wouldn't have been so concerned about what she was leaving behind, she wouldn't have looked back. Many times we believe that we are going through, but I come to tell you tonight, it could be only God bringing you to a new season, a new level. But I want to let you know, you can't look back. I want to tell you, stop looking at what your mama did when you was young. Oh, I hear them stories all the time. My mama, they're either telling me what their mama did or what their mama didn't do. And I understand that it might have was a hard time. But y'all know the world is full with dysfunctional families. And you ain't the only one. But you can't let it go, and you keep looking back. And every time you say it, and every time you repeat it, and you keep saying the same thing over and over. But I have an 1836 rule that I'm going to share with y'all tonight. God gave us our children, and we was responsible till the age 18. If your child is 36 years old or older, that means they had the same amount of time with their life that you had with it. And if they still ain't where they want to be or feel they need to where they need to be, then that was on their watch. Some people is dealing with a marriage, and the marriage just didn't work out. But every opportunity they got, they're looking back. Well, let me tell you what he did. Let me show you how dirty she was. Let me show you this. How you gonna go forward by keep looking back? And I could tell y'all this, and I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about some Christians now. You might be keep looking back at that relationship, that marriage, but out the same mouth praying for God to send you somebody else. God ain't going to send you nobody in the present while you stuck in the past. I know y'all shouting, but I can't hear y'all. You can't look back. You know, you might say your finances may not be the best. You got to remember this. Tomorrow, remember, your tomorrow is a brand new day, full of new grace and mercy. Just be patient. God is not through with you yet. I guarantee you that. And your beginning has nothing to do with your end. And God don't allow your past to dictate your future. You got a brand new day today. Stop looking back and look forward and keep it moving and march on in the name of Jesus. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "But I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God got an expected end for you. And it's got to be better than anything you could think of. But you got to trust him. Set back and relax and let his groove move you. Stop thinking you're in so much in control. Talking loud and ain't saying nothing. You know, you got to remember, God has a plan for your life. I promise you that. And you must submit, trust, obey, no matter what the circumstance look like now. And if your circumstances don't look good for you now, keep looking ahead. Why, when your circumstance don't look like the way you want them, instead of going forward, you immediately step back. You look back. Oh, Lord, if I woulda, coulda, shoulda. There's a book that I read one time. It said the worst thing a person could tell himself, if I woulda, if I coulda, if I shoulda. Well, you didn't, and it's gone. Look forward and keep it moving. You see, looking back at what has happened, and it has already happened, and you can't change it. You can't change it, y'all. Maybe your parents wasn't what you thought they were supposed to be. But how many people, everybody, and this is the thing, y'all. Everybody, the movie stars and everybody tell a story. Everybody want a broke down story. Everybody want a dysfunctional story. Because they figure looking back and telling that story and to say where they are now, you know, it makes it so much better. All of politicians don't want to seem like they married with a, like they, you know, was brought up with a silver spoon. Because you see, they figuring if they said they had that struggle and they wasn't rich, that they could associate more with the people. Come on, y'all. But if you had a bad luck story and you now loving on God and God is loving on you and you have a house and you have food and you have a little money in a bank and you done made a way for yourself out of nowhere with God's help. Leave the past in the past. And nobody don't want to keep hearing about that. And plenty of times people don't realize they'll tell that story over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And what does it do? People got raped. Plenty of them can't get over it, and some can. The death of a loved one. So it takes some people more time than they do. But God got you something for you right now in the present. And let me tell you why the present, because God deals in the present. Because why? He said yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. How many people woke up this morning and ain't going to wake up no more? Come on, y'all. Look what he says in Matthew 6:33. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." He'll give you a little materialistic things, but he ain't talking about that. He's talking about you're going to have joy and you're going to have peace and you're gonna be all right with yourself and you ain't going to be getting depressed and you ain't going to be getting down and you're going to try to live right and so you're going to make less mistakes. He's saying, after he said that, seek ye first, he said, don't worry about tomorrow, y'all, because tomorrow is going to come with the evils of its own self. So as I get ready to close tonight, I just encourage everybody to just keep it moving because there will be a brighter day. No matter what you're going through, my brothers and sisters, and you can't say I don't understand. I might not understand a lot of it, but I can understand a lot of things because I have experienced a lot of things in my life, and God designed it that way. But no matter what you're going through, even if I haven't experienced it, I know God can take care of it. I know the love that God has for you. He has your best interest at heart. And tomorrow will be a brighter day if you trust God. Because look at this. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. I went and visited the book of Job, and I went to the 8th chapter and the 7th verse, and it said, though, and this is for all of us, because I love it. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. And if we use Job for an example, since I read the scripture out of the book of Job, I could tell you Job never looked back. Job lost all of his children, all of his cattle, his house. Job lost everything in one day. Now, top that. I won't see somebody throw in their hat that can top that. Then after he lost everything, the devil asked God, could he make him sick? And you see, you got to realize from that too. You see, even though Job was doing this even though Satan was doing this to Job, the Bible showed us that Satan had to go to God to be able to touch Job. And Satan had to go to God to touch you. He had to get permission. Job never looked back. After all, Satan tried to do him to make him curse God and look back. Job never looked back, not once. And in the end, he received double his trouble. So whenever you're getting ready to do something or you doing something, the scripture told us, whenever you're going through and you're feeling depressed or you're trying to go back and live in the past and you're trying to pull up bad hurts that somebody put on you, all I could tell you is remember Lot's wife. And that's our lesson for tonight. Remember Lot's wife. And if anybody would like to make a comment, have a concern, a correction, want to add to the lesson, you could press the 1 button on your phone. Everyone is welcome. And I love to hear from you guys. And you got to remember something I say tonight, and you press the button and you say it. But the way you say it, somebody on the line could get it better than when I say it. If you got something in your heart to say, what good is it doing smothering it there? But if no one has nothing to say, we'll do, calling your number is 338. Your mic is open, sweetie.
Hi, Minister Diane. This is Almeda. I love the way you explained that and the way you broke that down. It really blessed me. And my thing is, when you have left your past behind and people keep bringing your past back up in your face, God told me to tell them, that's on you if you want to live in my past, because I've been left that behind.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't live back there no more. So either you catch up or you stay back there, because I'm going on ahead. And I
praise
love
God.
The way you put that, because it took a lot for me to go through to get where I am, and I'm not about to let nobody tell me where they think I am. I know where I'm at, and I don't live in my past.
Hallelujah.
When I do speak of things that have happened in my past, it's because God is allowing me to share that to bless somebody else because of certain things I've been through in my life. And now that I do look back, I thank God that I went through what I did, because I can be a blessing to somebody else. So I use things of my past to bless another person, because you never know what a person is going through.
Right.
But I leave it like this. If you want to be, you want to toy and play with life, and you keep looking back in somebody else's past and reminding them of what was, my answer to that, you stay back there, because the new Almeda is going forward. I don't live back there no more, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you.
That
I'm not what I used
ahead,
to be. I'm not all that I desire to be, but I'm getting there.
And that's what we got. And God honors that. Keep it moving, baby. And the part she brought in is a very important part. I'm trying to tell you how to stop looking back, but the way she brought it in was another twist, and it's so important, because you can't allow people to bring you back. That's the other part. That's the flip side of the coin. And I thank you, Sister Amita, for saying that. Because we have people, I'll give you an example. They have a preacher, and the preacher come to church, and he used to be an alcoholic. The man has changed. He's cleaned up. He's doing everything, you know, as you look at him, that he could be doing, and he's doing it right. And, you know, they're going to have, they might have 50 people, and 49 say, oh, he's so good. One going to say, oh, I remember when he was in a barroom. So you got to remember, don't allow people to put you in your past when you had left it alone, because they will do that, because misery loves company. So I thank you, Sister Amita, for bringing it to me that way.
You're welcome.
And if anyone else would like to say something, you could press the one button on your phone at this time, and I'll open a mic. If not, I'll just do the benediction. But I thank each and every one of you for calling in, and I thank God for your faithfulness, and I thank God how you call and support me week after week. It's a blessing, y'all. And I don't take it lightly. And I thank God. So if that's all for tonight, I'm going to do a benediction. I'm coming from the book of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. Because it's the desire that everybody should have for themselves and one another, that we all grow in this grace that God has given us. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. You can't know who God is until you study him and get knowledge of him. And I come to tell you tonight that you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. The more you know about God, you can know about yourself. That's why so many people are walking around day by day looking for love in all the wrong places, because they don't know who they are. You can't know who you totally are until you know totally who your maker is. So when you learn more about God, you learn more about yourself, which is your strength and keep you standing tall and keep you from wavering side to side and keep you from allowing people to bring you in your past. Come on, y'all. And stop your past from haunting you, and you using it all the time, and you saying it all the time. It's true. And just like Sister Almeida said, you know, it's all right. She would say it for as a testimony or whatever. And the thing was, Sister Almeida, I wrote this down, but I'm glad I saw it. You were not bringing up your past, but you was explaining, but you wasn't complaining about your past. Your past is what it was, and it was an opportunity to use it as a testimony. So that's explaining, but you wasn't complaining. People complain about their past all day long, and there's nothing you could do about it. You can't erase your past. You can't add to it. You can't subtract from it. It's a done deal. And I ain't talking about no past for 10 years. I have people talking about 70 years, 80 years, when they was 9 or 10 years old, and they going on 90. That's got to be some misery. But anyway, that's the lesson for the light tonight. God loves each and every one of you, and so do I. And I pray to God that all of you be blessed. And remember that we should be praying for one another, praying for ourselves. And at this time, we need to pray for everybody around the world. So be blessed and be safe. Social distance, wear your mask, wipe down when necessary. Stay home as often as you can. That's it for tonight. Good night.